Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Samach Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the Gemara on Samach Beis, we will notice at the point with which the Shiur begins, five lines from the top of the Omid, a slash mark in the middle of the line, indicating that what we are going to learn now is of a totally new nature. We also notice in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, between the Gemara and the Rashi, a Roman numeral number 1, with an indication that a number 2 will appear on Omid Beis. And in fact, if you scroll ahead or you flip over the daf, you will notice at the top of Samach Beis, Omid Beis, there appears a Roman numeral number 2. To understand what these represent, we take advantage of our topic headings and structural notes that appear in the margin of our marked Shas edition. We notice here a Nosei Klali, a general topic, indicating something that will cover numerous other topics, and a Mivneh, structural note, and we point out that there's a 1 and 2 of a Roman numeral counting system that's circled by our note, which indicates Shnei Lishonois, two versions, Bameh, Toni, Rabbi Zakkai, Kameh, Rabbi Yochanan. We will see in the Gemara that Rabbi Zakkai teaches a Tanaic source in front of Rabbi Yochanan. What the nature of that Tanaic source, what the contents of that source is represented in the Gemara by two versions. We will also see that Vehigivlo Rabbi Yochanan responds, according to both Lashonas, both versions, Rabbi Yochanan's response to the source that Rabbi Zakkai teaches is Poke Toni Livra. Take out your source, cast it away. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan is expressing his dissatisfaction with regard to the accuracy of that particular source. The first source appears here on Lashon number 1, which focuses on multiple avodos, multiple services done to an idol, in service of an idol, and the source reveals that one is chayav for one, chatas. If done unwittingly, the penalty for the multiple averis would carries with it the need to bring only one chatas. In other words, that for each specific act, there is not generated a separate obligation. The Nosei topic that we have assigned in our margin says, Haim yesh chiluk melochos b'avodah zarah kamo b'shabbos. Is there a division of activities with when it comes to avodah zarah? When we speak about division, we mean the yielding of multiple korbanos, multiple sacrifices for multiple acts, when dealing with the service of an idol, like we find by Shabbos. HaGemora meviyo toni Rabbi Zakkai she'ein chiluk chatos. The Gemara, as we mentioned earlier, will bring a Tanaic source. Rabbi Zakkai will bring this source that says that there is not this distinction. In other words, there is not this division, but rather, even if one does multiple acts of service to an avodah zarah, he nonetheless will be chayev, will be obligated to bring only one sacrifice. So what we will do now is first we will read the source, and you can see in the marked edition how the source appears in a frame, as do all Tanaic sources, and then we will describe the subsequent geometric forms as they come. The Gemara begins, Toni Rabbi Zakkai Kameh to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Zakkai teaches a Tanaic source in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan. Zibeach v'kiter v'nisech v'hishtachava behelem echod. One who, Zibeach, he slaughtered an animal and kiter, offered it up in the fire. V'nisech, and did the Zrikas Hadam, or he poured wine in honor of the idol, Vehishtachaven bowed, and all of these acts he did, Behelem Echad, in one state of lack of awareness. This person was not aware that these acts are forbidden, and he did them. Eino Chayav Eloachas. He is chayav one Korban Chatas. We now encounter the one of our series markings. In this case, there's a dual purpose that's served. Not only a series, but we also have a play-by-play effect, what we term ma'akav, keeping track. The form, the house form, will be flipping over back and forth to appreciate what is going to happen. Let us take a look at our mivneh, our structural note that accompanies this gemara. The mivneh, you notice a house form with the point, the roof, if you will, pointing up. Ma'akav. Ma'akav means keeping track. Yesh, when the point is flipping up, it will express the idea that yesh chiluk chatois, that there is a division of activities that will yield a need to bring multiple korban chatos. Al v'ein l'smoich, and we will be saying when the geometric form is in this position, we will be basically declaring v'ein l'smoich al ha'detoni Reb Zakkai dekotoni de'ein chiluk, and not to rely on Rabbi Zakkai's teaching that said that there is no division of activities. When we speak again, division of activities means that even though multiple activities took place, there is no division of sacrifices. Then the Gemara will present alternative ideas, and that will be represented by the house form flipped over with the point facing down, at which point in our introduction, in our Mivneh note, we say, Yesh Mokoim Lahamid Ha'detoni Rabbi Zakkai K'Rabbi Yosi B'Shabbos. There is room to establish the source that Rabbi Zakkai taught in line with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who expresses his ideas when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, the laws regarding Shabbos. The Omar, Rabbi Yossi's opinion, it's a well-known opinion for people who are involved in learning, they're familiar with the following statement, Havorah Lelav Yotzos, which basically says that even though there are many psukim that deal with the general realm of prohibition of activities, of creative activities on Shabbos, nevertheless, when it comes to the issue of fire, of lighting fires on Shabbos, there's a special pasuk that features that by itself. The issue is, why was fire featured by itself when it is part of the general realm of lo sa'asu kol melacha, not to do any creative activity? So Rabbi Yossi holds that Havora was stated specifically to tell us that it is guilty of a negative violation, but not a capital offense. The opinion that disagrees with Rabbi Yossi holds that Havora lechalek yotzos, that Havora was treated separately in order to teach that just like Havora is a singular activity and it carries with it responsibility, it carries with it penalties, so to any individual Meleches Shabbos, any individual creative activity done in violation of Shabbos carries with it a separate penalty. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, does not say that. He doesn't say lechalek yotzos. So when, at first glance, when looking at Rabbi Yossi, one would think that just like in Shabbos, it doesn't seem at first glance, I'm emphasizing this will change later, but it would seem at first glance he does not have the concept of multiple obligations for multiple activities. He could possibly be the author of this source that we just read that said, Einu chai velo achas. So let us turn our attention to the Gemara. Omar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan, in responding to Rabbi Zakkai, says, Pok Toni Livra, take your source and cast it outside, throw it away. Omar Rabbi Abba, Ha, the Omar Rabbi Zakkai, that which Rabbi Zakkai says, that Eino Chayav Elo Achas, there is no real need to throw it out, it's simply a one of two opinions, Machlokis Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Nosson. It would be the subject of a controversy between these two Tanoim, the Sanya. We have a Tanaic source that we already introduced. It says, Havora lelav yotza, Rabbi Yossi. The Torah features Havora, the issue of lighting a fire on Shabbos, separate from all the rest of Melecha Shabbos, in order to tell us that Havora does not carry with it a capital penalty. Rabbi Nosson Omer lechalek yotza. Rabbi Nosson holds that Havara was specified in the Torah in a separate pasuk, lo sevar esh b'chomos shu esechem b'yom ha-shabbos, to tell us that it carries it, just like it is a separate activity and carries with it its own penalties, so too every single act done on Shabbos that is prohibited will generate a separate korban. Namely, if done unwittingly, it'll be mechayev, an additional korban. That's lechalek yotza. So the Gemara goes on now, aligning these shitos. Leman dom havora lelav yotza, according to Rabbi Yossi, that says in the context of Shabbos that havora was singled out in order to tell me that it is chayev in havora. It is chayev a lav. It's considered a negative offense as opposed to a capital offense. Hishtachavo nami, in the realm of Avodah Zorah, even though there are psukim indicating in general not to worship an Avodah Zorah, there are psukim that point out that bowing down is also prohibited. So why was hishtachavo singled out? To tell me, lelav yotza, that it is guilty of a negative commandment, but it does not carry with it, unlike other forms of service, hashtachavo does not carry with it a capital penalty. And with that in mind, we can say that the source that Rabbi Zakkai taught would line up with Rabbi Yossi. As we said before, Rabbi Yossi doesn't seem to indicate that there's any concept of lechalik by Shabbos. In other words, there's no individualizing activities that in order to generate separate korbanos by Shabbos. So he could be the author of this source in the context of Avodah Zarah that Rabbi Zakkai taught. Continuing, l'man d'omah havora lechalek yotza, according to Rabbi Nosson in Shabbos, that says that havora was singled out in order to tell me this concept of separate penalties for separate activities. Hishtachavo nami, in the realm of Avodah Zarah, hishtachavo was featured separately, lechalek yotza, to tell me that every single act done in the context of service of Avodah Zarah would generate a separate penalty and a separate korban when done unwittingly. Maskif lo Rav Yosef. Notice how Rav Yosef's mark, the house form, flips over with the point facing up again. This will be a rejection of what was just said, and you'll notice that it appears in the Gemara as a long rejection. To the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, you notice a dalet that's encircled with a dashed vertical line. This is a length marker indicating the length of Rav Yosef's rejection of what was just said. In effect, Rav Yosef will be telling us who says that Rav Yossi does not have a concept of division of activities. It is true that Rav Yossi the Tana holds that Havora is not the source for that information, but with regard to the rest of Hilchos Shabbos, there is a source for division of melachos, and he learns that from a pasuk that is found in Vayikra, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Beis, which says Me'achas Mehenot. The pasuk is found in the context of a korban chatos. So we see that Rabbi Yossi himself holds that one learns the concept of division of activities in order to generate multiple korban obligations from Me'achas Mehena, and that is as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, though, this is what Rav Yosef will claim, since I don't have an alternative source for learning the division of activities, it could very well be that the hishtachavo word, according to everybody, in other words, according to Rabbi Yossi as well, will be the source for division of activities. In other words, our attempt to align up the machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Nosson with regard to Havora, whether it's Lelav Yotzos or Lechalik Yotzos, is to be paralleled with the same argument surrounding Hishtachavo by Avodah Zarah. Who says? It could be that concerning Havora, there is a machlokas of how to learn that particular posuk. That is because, therefore, as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, there's another source to teach the concept of the Chalek by Shabbos, namely Me'achas Mehena. But when it comes to Avodah Zarah, when I don't have an alternative source to learn division of activity, everyone will hold, including Rabbi Yossi, learn this concept of division of activity from Hishtachavo. Let us now turn our attention to the Gemara itself. Maskif lo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef directs his attack to that which Rabbi Abba just said. Ad dilmo ad kan lo koma Rabbi Yossi hosam. It could be that up till now Rabbi Yossi doesn't say what he does, except by Shabbos. Over there means by Shabbos that havora lav yotza, that havora was singled out to tell me that it is a negative commandment and carries with it the penalty of a lav and nothing more. In other words, there is no capital penalty for havora. Why can Rabbi Yossi afford to say that? Because Rabbi Yossi is able to learn the concept of division of activities, generating multiple korbanos on Shabbos for multiple violations. He can learn that from another source, namely Me'achas Mehena. Notice we have brackets. So we'll skip the section in the brackets. Aval Hocha. But here, in the realm of Avodah Zorah, as opposed to Shabbos, Delo nafko le chiluk molochos miduchta achriti, where he does not learn division of activities from another place, duchta, a place, achriti, another place, dekule alma, everyone will agree, including Rabbi Yossi, hishtachavo lechalek yotza. That the hishtachavo posuk, the bowing posuk, the prohibition of bowing to an idol, that was singled out in order to tell me that just like it is a single activity and carries with it a penalty, so too every single act done to an avodah zarah, even if it be in one state of lack of awareness, each different act will carry with it the need to bring an additional korban when done b'shogeg. As a result of this, and we have written in between the lines, this is why Rabbi Yochanan said above to Rabbi Abba, to Rabbi Zakkai, that cast your source out. There is no basis for it. In Rabbi Zakkai's source, we saw that multiple activities were chayav only one korban. But we see here that everyone will hold that Hishtachavo is coming to tell me multiple korbanos. At this point in the Gemara, we will take note of what's going to happen in the continuation of the Gemara. However, bearing in mind that we still have to go back over the bracketed section that we skipped. At this point in the Gemara, there is a suggestion, and that is due to Rav Yosef, that Hishtachavo would be the source of Chiluk Avoidois. After this piece of Gemara, we have a semicolon in our marked edition. The Gemara will be raising a question related to this idea that Hishtachavo should be the source of division. Why couldn't we learn the idea of division of activities yielding multiple korbanos, namely the concept of Chiluk Malachos by Avodah Zarah? Why could we not learn that from Me'achas Mehena? So, as the Gemara goes on, after this point, until the bottom of the page, the Gemara will be preoccupied with trying to use Me'achas Mehena as opposed to Hishtachavo, that it should serve as the source for Chiluk Malachos by Avodah Zarah. By the end of the Omid, though, we will not be able to use the Pasuk of Me'achas Mehena for Chiluk Malachos, and that one can see graphically by looking at our marking system, where the triangle starts, the house marking with the colored in tip starts at this point, suggesting to that Me'achas Mehena should be a source, and by the time you get to three lines from the bottom, you will see a flipped over house with colored in tip, which would be indicating to the contrary, that Me'achas Mehena cannot be the source, and therefore I would be left with Hishtachavo as being the source, and that being according to everybody, therefore we would be holding by this very point in the Gemara where we are right now, and that would bolster Rabbi Yochanan's approach that the source that Rabbi Zakkai was trying to teach is simply not accurate. Let us now turn our attention back to the bracketed section. Immediately before the bracketed section in the Gemara, Rav Yosef made mention that according to the Tana, Rav Yosi, Chiluk Malachos by Shabbos, though not learned from Havara, it is learned from a posuk in the context of the Korban Chatos Me'achas Mehena. Before we go further in the Gemara, let us take advantage of our topic headings. You have on the side of the Gemara a Tat Nosei, a subtopic, Besoch HaSugrayim, and we indicate that this subtopic is that which is treated in the bracketed section. Me'achas Mehena, which is found in Vayikra Perek Dalet Pasuk Beis, we have written, Mokor L'chiluk Melochos B'Shabbos Aliba D'Rav Yosi. It will be the source of division of korbonos as per multiple Shabbos violations. According to Rabbi Yossi, Delo Lomad Mehavora, who did not learn this concept from the Isser of burning on Shabbos of Havora. So now we turn to the bracketed section. Of course, we ought to have mentioned earlier, but the length of the bracketed section is indicated by a length marker, a dashed, dotted, vertical line that you find to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Of course, what we did in our presentation of the Gemara, we skipped the bracketed section in order to facilitate the reading and maintain the logical flow. This, by the way, is also noted by our note that you find next to the asterisk in the inside margin, Sograyim L'Shem Dilug. These are brackets for the purpose of initial skipping, Kedei L'Hokel Al Zrimas HaKriya, in order to ease the flow of the reading. Besoch HaSograyim, these curved brackets, Muvo HaMokor L'Divrei Rabbi Yosi, will be presented the source for Rabbi Yosi's opinion, namely that Rabbi Yossi will hold that there is a concept of multiple obligations as derived from Me'achas Mehena. Now we turn to the Gemara text. Desanya, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, V'osa Me'achas Mehena. Rashi spends time elaborating on the fact that this posuk has in it a construction or a wording, or I would almost say lettering, the use of the mem in front of these two words, me'achas mehena, as far as communicating the simple meaning of the pasuk, one, it could have been stated another way. So from the fact that it has these two words with the mem in front of it, indicates there is room for a drusha. And hence we go on, pa'omim shechayov achas al kulon. Sometimes a person will commit multiple offenses and be chayav only one korban. Pa'omim shechayov al kol achas v'achas. And sometimes a person will be guilty of a separate korban for each act that he violated. Of course, we dashed underlined Shechayev al Kol Achas V'Achas. This is the concept of Chiluk Malachos that we are currently discussing. V'Omer Rabbi Yonason. Rabbi Yonason is coming here to explain Rabbi Yossi. My time under Rabbi Yossi. What is the reasoning, or how does Rabbi Yossi see what he says from the Pasuk? Dichtiv. The Pasuk itself says, V'Oso Me'achas Mehena. Colon. We are now going to say that from this pasuk there are numerous things that are alluded to and that can be learned from it. We've used a lettering system to number each point as it comes. So first we see a list, and then the Gemara will continue and explain each point. So we will first read the list. Achas, me'achas. In other words, you have the word me'achas is written in the pasuk, but we can focus on the root, or the basic word, namely achas, and also take into consideration the mem, serving as a source for two different things. Likewise, hena, mehena. Achas shehi hena. This will be, we'll see later, this will be explained, whereby there is a violation of one mitzvah, and it will bear with it many chatos, many korbonos. And you have the flipped around situation, heino shi'achas, where there may be a multiple violation, and nevertheless, it will be chayev only one korban. At this point, the Gemara goes over each one of these sources or points. Achas equals Shimon. This means someone on Shabbos who sits down to write, and Ksiva is one of the Shabbos prohibitions, and he sits down with the intent and writes out an entire name or entire word. Shimon, an example. Me'achas. This would be someone who intended to write the entire name Shimon, but he writes only the first two letters and stops. Shem Mishimon. He writes the Shin Mem of the Shimon name, and that itself will be guilty, even though he didn't complete his entire intention. And the reason for this, Rashi explains, is because Shin Mem has meaning in and of itself. It stands on its own as having meaning. Heino equals Avos. Heino in the Pasuk is a reference to Avos Malachos. And we know from the Mishnah in Shabbos that there are 39 primary forms of Shabbos violation. Meheino was a reference to Toldos. Those are also capital offenses when it comes to Shabbos. However, they are derivative types of Shabbos activity. Hence, when we speak about 39 primary Shabbos violations, each one of them may carry with it numerous examples that are subsidiary in nature. But they do carry with them also a capital offense. Achas Shihena. This is an outgrowth of the drosha that we are doing on this pasuk of the Osa Me'achas Meheno. It can be understood the following. Achas Shihena. What does that mean? Zodoin Shabbos V'shigigas Malachos. This is a situation where a person is aware that it is the Shabbos day, and he does multiple malachas, but he's not aware that the particular activities that he is doing are prohibited. As a result of that, we can say that you have this achas shehena as a description of one mitzvah that carries with it multiple violations. When we speak about one mitzvah, we're referring to the awareness that it is Shabbos, and it carries with it multiple chatos. Continuing, heino shi'achas, we have a flip-around case. Heino shi'achas is a case where you have shigigas Shabbos v'zodon molochos, where someone is unaware that today is the Shabbos day, and he goes about doing numerous activities, and he knows that these activities, if done on Shabbos, would be prohibited. He simply is just not aware that it's Shabbos. As a result of that, he is going to be chayev only one korban. In other words, this is a description of heino shi'achas, is a reference to someone who is in violation of many mitzvos, and chayev only one korban. When we speak about many mitzvos in this context, we are referring to the many Shabbos activities, and he's chayev only one. And this is, as we said, this is a case of shigigas Shabbos v'zodon molochos. We added a note to this particular line. In addition to the markings, we have a dashed underline. We've dashed underlined the word shigigas or shigigos, and the asterisk points to a note that says he'ora mispar hakorbonas, the number of sacrifices that one is obligated to bring, talui b'ma shogag, is dependent on that which he was unaware of. Im shigigosu al prat echad, if his lack of awareness is considered as concerns one item, yovi korban echad. That would have been the example of shigigas Shabbos. He's not aware of Shabbos, and as a result of his lack of awareness is on one point, it therefore generates only one korban. There's the other situation, im hu shogag beribui pratim, if his lack of awareness concerns multiple items, then yehe chayev beribui korbonos, that will generate multiple korbonos. So to emphasize this particular rule, a korban is brought on that which one had experienced lack of awareness, the shgoga. As we go on in the Gemara, we brought all of this to emphasize Rabbi Yossi's opinion that even though he holds Havora is there to teach Lav, that Havora, lighting fire, is not a capital offense with regard to Shabbos, and Havora does not teach me multiple korbanos, nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi, the Tana has an alternative source to teach me multiple korbanos, and that's Me'achas Mehena. However, when we deal with Avodah Zorah, let us continue reading the Gemara, Avol Hocha, in the realm of Avodah Zorah, Delo Nafka Le'chiluk Melochos Miduch Tachriti, where Rabbi Yossi does not learn the concept of division of activities, and hence division of korbanos from another place, De'kulei Alma, everyone will agree, including Rabbi Yossi, that Hishtachavo Le'chalik Yotza, that the role of Hishtachavah, the separate posuk dealing with the prohibition of bowing down, even though the Torah already warns against doing all acts of idol worship as being prohibited, Hishtachavah was singled out to tell me that just like it is a separate act and chayav on its own, so too every single different form of idol worship will generate a separate penalty and a separate need for bringing a korban. At this point, then, we can say we understand very well why Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Zakkai, cast away your source. Because in his source, there was an indication that even though one does multiple acts, in Rabbi Zakkai's source it said, Einu chayav elo achas. As we mentioned earlier, the Gemara now focuses its attention on what exactly is the source for chiluk melachos by Avodah Zarah. So we just got finished saying that everyone would hold hishtachavah is that. We are now going to ask, why do you insist on hishtachavah as being the source for division of melachos? Could we not suggest that the same posuk that Rabbi Yossi used for Shabbos, the also me'achas mehena, could be used for Avodah Zarah as well, bearing in mind that the posuk that of me'achas mehena was not in the context of Shabbos per se. It's written in the Torah in the context of the korban chatas in the section of the Torah dealing with sacrifices, and sacrifices are brought for many different types of offenses, not just for Shabbos. So could that posuk not have served for division of activities with regard to Avodah Zarah as well? And if you're going to say that, that would mean that we should be able to take the posuk, the also me'achas mehena, and apply a similar construction as we did in the context of Shabbos to the realm of idol worship. If we are successful, then we will be able to say that, in fact, you don't have to say hishtachavah is the source for chiluk melachos, but the also me'achas mehena. However, if we are not successful in accounting for every detail of this Durosha as applies to Avodah Zarah, then we'll have to drop it and say, okay, V'yoso Me'achas Mehena does not apply to Avodah Zarah, and we'll fall back on Hishtachavah as being the source for Chiluk Molochus. Before we go on, let's take advantage of our Nosei Mivneh heading. So we see the house form with a colored in tip appearing in the margin, Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. As we've said before, you'll notice as the Gemara unfolds, the house form appears flipping back and forth as the Gemara goes on. With the point up, these will be kushios, questions, and the general thrust will be nisayon loimar, an attempt to say, shenitan lulmoid chiluk chatois mehaposuk me'achas mehena, an attempt to say that we can learn the division of activities with regard to Avodah Zarah from the pasuk we mentioned earlier, Me'achas Mehena, Shekosuv beKorban Chatos. The pasuk itself is written in the context of a Korban Chatos. As we emphasized before, it's not written in the context of Shabbos per se. And we notice the flipped over house with the colored in tip, Tshuvois, responses, which the thrust of the responses will be to say, Lo nitan loimar shaposuk mityaches Avodah Zarah. We will not be able to say that this posuk of the Osim Achmeno can be applied to Avodah Zarah. So we turn our attention back to the Gemara. The first house form is actually something that we have written in between the lines, and we've written in koshet. In other words, a question or a difficulty is going to be raised, namely, the challenge to what was said just before. Just before we said Hishtachavo is the source for Chiluk Melochas, we're now going to suggest an alternative. We've also used a long question marking. You can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara a kuf with a house form surrounding it and a dashed vertical line indicating the length of this suggestion. The Gemara continues. Chiluk malachos davodis kochavim, the idea of separate obligations as per separate activity, nami tepukle, could also be learned out from me'achas mehena. Rashi, interestingly, in the middle of the wide lines, we have a double star in order to help find where the Rashi is. Tepukle me'achas mehena, the Rebbe Abba Porach. This question is focused on Rebbe Abba, who appeared quite a bit up on the page. Nihi demasnisin Rebbe Yosihi, granted the Tanaic source as according to Rebbe Abba is authored by the Tanaic source, namely the Rebbe Zakkai source. According to Rebbe Abba, he wanted to assign it to Rebbe Yosi, granted that it's Rebbe Yosi. That Hishtachavo was singled out, in fact, to tell me that it is a negative offense and not a capital offense. Why could you still not insist on the concept of separation of activities to generate separate korban obligations from the Mehena Pasuk? Just like Rabbi Yosi himself learns when it comes to Shabbos. The pasuk that's written in the context of a korban schatos obligation, stamaksiv, it's written in an unqualified fashion. Nami, we can expand it and expound upon it with regard to idol worship as well. Hachi, thusly, achas, v'oso achas, she'oso avoido shlemo, kogoin zibuach, that would be where he did a complete act. Like we saw before in the context of Shabbos, he wrote out an entire word, Shimon. And the also me'achas is equals kigon shochat simenecha davodes kochavim, whereby he slaughtered, instead of slaughtering the two simonim in the neck of the animal, the trachea and the esophagus, he slaughtered only one, he cut only one, for the purpose of serving the avodah zarah. Da'ashon ha'hechsher, we find a parallel form in the realm of kashrus that is machshir gabi chatas of b'fnim, the korban chatas that's done in the Beis Hamikdash. And as we've mentioned in previous sugyas, that in order to obligate someone for or condemn someone on the grounds of violating avodah zarah, it would have to be an activity that you find in the Beis Hamikdash as well. And in fact, you find the slaughtering of one simen, one neck organ, in the context of the Beis Hamikdash, in the realm, in the form of the chatos ha'oif. We turn back to the Gemara. What Rashi just mentioned will be found right now in the Gemara itself. So we will reread this line. Chiluk malachos davodis kochavim nami, the concept of division of activities in the realm of avodah zarah, also you find tepukle me'achas mehena as follows. Achas equals zvicha, slaughtering both neck organs, the trachea and esophagus, for the purpose of serving the idol. Me'achas, the same word that we darshan before, we'll darshan now in the context of avodah zarah. Simen echad, one of the two neck organs for an avodah zarah. Hena equals ovos. Hena would be the primary forms of idol worship, as the Gemara lists: zipuach, kitur, nisuch, v'shtachavo. Mehena equals toldos. Those are derivative activities. For example, shovar makel lefonea. If a person, and Rashi points out, if there is an avodah zarah whose form of worship, whose kedarka form of worship is by worshiping with sticks, with branches or with sticks, and a fellow comes along and breaks a stick as a form of service to this idol, that is like shechita. It would be called a tolda, a derivative of shechita. Just like in the case of slaughtering, there's a breaking of the neck organ, here too is the breaking of a stick. And hence we would call this a tolda of shchita, or of zibuach. Continuing, achas shehi heina, one mitzvah or one violation with which results in multiple korbanos would be the following scenario. Zodoin avodas kechavim, he is aware of the Torah prohibiting idol worship. Veshigegas avodas, but he does activities that turn out to be prohibited activities, but he does those activities in a state of unawareness. And as we discussed before, and we emphasize shigoga, in the shigegas over here is a shigoga, an unawareness of multiple elements. This would be an example of achas shihena, one awareness that yields multiple korbanos. Then the flip around case, heino shiachas, multiple averos, but resulting only in one korban, equals the case of shigigas avodis kechavim v'zodon avodos, where the fellow is not aware that there is a Torah prohibition of avodah zarah, and is aware of the activities that he is doing. The Gemara now, at this point, we are holding in the Gemara with a suggestion. Let us learn chiluk malachos from the also me'achas mehena. From me'achas mehena, we should be able to say that there is chiluk malachos, and even Rabbi Yossi would subscribe to this, even if he holds that hishtachavo is l'lav yotza, that hishtachavo does not teach me multiple offenses. As we go on in the Gemara, the geometric form flips over, indicating that we are going to now respond to this. The suggestion was learn from Achsmeino. The Gemara will show it's difficult. We can't learn from Achsmeino. Hence, we're calling this a response. Shigigas avodis kechavim heichidami. Regarding the last point that was mentioned, what does that mean, that a person is not aware of the prohibition of idol worship? And as a result of this fellow's lack of awareness, there will be the need to bring sacrifices. Hey, Shidomi, what are the circumstances? E kosovar beis haknesses hu v'shtachavalo. If a person saw a structure and he thought it was a shul, it turned out to be, or he thought it was a synagogue, and it turned out to be a structure that it serves as an idol. But he thought it was a shul, and he bowed down to it. That's not something that would carry with it a korban obligation. His intent was heavenwards. He had divine intents. Elo. So what might be an example of shigigas avodis kechavim? The choza andarta v'sogidlei. He saw a statue v'sogid and bowed down to it. Well, e kable ole. If he accepted the statue as an idol, as a divinity for himself, then meizidhu. Then he is doing something in a premeditated fashion, and for mazid violations, there is no korban obligation, and we are dealing with a pasuk that requires the bringing of a sacrifice. Eloi kible ole, if he bowed down to the statue as a sign of respect, let us say it's the statue of a king or an important personality, and he's not accepting that as that individual as a god form, rather he's bowing out of respect, then lo klum hu, then what he did is nothing. Is of no negative significance. At this point, then we are having difficulty. We can't say that the also me'achas mehena would include avodah zarah because of this particular difficulty in our inability to darshan the posuk heino shi'achas, to darshan it with that construction. The Gemara says, why should that be a problem? I can answer that. In other words, I can reinstate the suggestion that me'achas me'ino is referring to avodah zarah. Elo me'ahava umira, where a person worships an idol, thinking, and he worships it not because he's accepted it as a god form, but rather because he has a great affinity for a particular fellow who does worship this, or he is fearful of some fellow who worships this thing, and out of fear of that person, he worships this whatever idol the other guy worships. So that might be termed shigigas avodis kechavim. Ha nichol abaye d'omar chayav. This suggestion will be legitimate according to Abaye, who holds that me'ava umiyiro is considered a violation of the prohibition of idol worship. Elo la Rava, notice the form flips over. But according to Rava, the Amar Potter, that if one worships an idol out of fear or love of some fellow man, that that's Potter. He doesn't have to bring a korban for that if he does it unwittingly. My ikol lemeimar. So what is an example of shigigas avodah zara? More answers. I can still work things out according to Rava. Elo bi oimer muter. Where a person thinks that the Torah holds that idol worship is allowed. If someone worships an idol with this mindset, that he claims the Torah says it's allowed, according to Rava, this is chayav a korban. When one does that, by the way, and this is a point that is explained in Rashi, when one is in a state of omer mutter, he thinks that there is no iser of avodah zarah in the Torah. By thinking that, he therefore is a shogeg, both with regard to avodah zarah itself and with regard to the avodos. Even though this is not a classic example of shigigas avodos kechovim vezodon avodos, because he's not mazed on the avodos, because he thinks that the whole thing is mutter, not only the basic prohibition, but even the accompanying activities as well. Nevertheless, this could be a fulfillment of the pasuk that says heino shi'achas, namely multiple violations that result in only one korban. At this point, then, if we are navigating with our geometric forms, we notice that the house form is facing with the tip up. This corresponds to the opening of this section of Gemara as well, with the suggestion that chiluk molochas b'avodah zarah could be learned from me'achas mehena. The Gemara asks, if that were so, that the posuk is established under the circumstances of omer mutter, then tifsho debo mine rova me rav nachmon, then we should have been able, or Rava should have never asked his question. Rava asked the question of Rav Nachmon that we would already know the answer for. What was Rava's question? He'elem ze b'ze b'yodo mahu. If a person serves an idol, not knowing that the Torah prohibits idolatry, and not knowing that these activities are prohibited, Tifshot, we should have concluded the Eino Chayav Elo Achas. According to the way we learn the Gemara, the posuk that says Heino Shi Achas, Rava would have explained is in the case of Omer Mutter. So why did Rava even ask the question of Rav Nachman? The answer would be that he's Chayav only one. The Gemara says this doesn't have to bother us. Ha Lo Kashya, this is not a problem. V'tifshot, and let it be that let Rava conclude his question from this very point that if one does avodah zarah, one practices idolatry, not knowing that the Torah assers it, and not knowing that these activities are of an idolatrous nature, that he's chayav only one. If that be the case, we could say, as you can see from the positioning of the geometric form, we would be able to be mekayim, establish the pasuk of me'achas mehena, also by avodah zarah. However, the Gemara rejects this. The Gemara goes on and says, "Umi motzis mukmis lahani kroy b'avodas kechovim." Can you really say that these psukim, namely the drushes that we are making on the pasuk of me'achas mehena, is talking about idolatry? Not so. The ilu hachok siv, in the context of the psukim that we find in Vayikra Perek Dalid, we find the chatos that are discussed here, b'moshiach par. The chatos that we're talking about here is such that if a Kohen Gadol, Moshiach is a reference to a Kohen Gadol, if he violates this, if he violates the Averos referred to in this particular section, he brings a par, Ubenasi Sawyer. If it's a Nasi or a king, he would bring a Sawyer. Ubiyachid Kisva Usiira. If it's a private individual, he would bring a sheep or a goat. That's as far as violations that are accounted for in the psukim of that we find the also me'achs mehena, the psukim in Perek Vayikra Perek Dalid. V'ilu b'avodas kechovim. However, we know that when it comes to the violation of idolatry, tnan v'shavin shebesira kiyochid, both the Rebbe and the Chachamim agree that a Kohen Moshiach would bring, for violating Avodah Zarah, he brings a Se'ira. So we cannot possibly say that Vayikra Dalid is talking about Avodah Zorah violations. Because in Vayikra Dalid we see that a Kohen Gadol brings a par. And we know that when in the violation of Avodah Zorah, a Kohen Gadol would bring a Seira, which is a different animal. The Su Lo Mini. And there's nothing more to say about this particular point. As a result of this, we cannot establish Me'achas Mehino with regard to Avodah Zorah. Could one suggest an alternative source for Chilik Malachas B'Avodah Zorah? By all means. What we left off with right before this last section that started with the house with the colored in tip, whereby we said we could learn it from Hishtachavo, as Rav Yosef suggested. As far as Rabbi Zakkai's source that says multiple activities by Avodah Zorah result in only one korban, there is a source for that. That would be another pasuk, Lo Sa'avdein, which is featured in the Gemara on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. But as far as our sugya here is concerned, we didn't really see a source that would be the basis for Rabbi Zakkai's teaching. As we go on in the Gemara, we will soon encounter a second approach to the Rabbi Zakkai source. Ki also Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Omar. Hachi tono kamei. Thusly, Rabbi Zakkai taught in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Before we go further, let us glance at the topic heading we have assigned to this Gemara, the Nosei Mokor. We will see a Tanaic source, Shemashveh Shabbos L'Shar Mitzvahs, that compares, or more accurately, that contrasts Shabbos with regard to other commandments. Lifamim Shabbos Chamur. Sometimes Shabbos will be treated with greater stringency than we would other mitzvos. Lifamim Shar Mitzvos Chamuros. And sometimes other mitzvos will be more stringent than Shabbos. Continuing now in the Gemara. The Tanaic source at the top. Oh, let us note, by the way, the Roman numeral number 2 that appears in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, a point we introduced earlier. The source begins with two headings. Chomer b'Shabbos mishar mitzvahs. There's a stringency by Shabbos over other mitzvahs. V'chomer b'shar mitzvahs mi b'Shabbos. And there's a stringency with regard to other mitzvahs that you don't find by Shabbos. The Gemara, the source unravels, but we will emphasize that the true understanding of the source itself will be revealed by the Gemara afterwards. So we go over the first heading, Chomer b'Shabbos, the stringency that we find by Shabbos. Shabbos also shtayim b'helam echad, if a person does two Shabbos violations in one state of lack of awareness. In other words, he did some writing. And after he finished the writing, he went and did some sewing, two different Malacha Shabbos. In the interim, he did not discover that he was in violation of Shabbos. That's what's called Behelem Echad. Chayev al kol achas ve'achas. He's obligated to bring separate korbanos for each one. Masha ein kein b'shar mitzvos, which is not the case when dealing with other mitzvos. What is being referred to here, we don't know yet. Continuing with the second elaboration on the second heading, the bays here corresponds to the bays that we had in a diamond at the opening of the source. Chomer b'shar mitzvos, shebishar mitzvos, when it comes to other mitzvos, shogag b'lo miskavein chayov. If he does something in an unwitting fashion, he is considered in violation. Mashein kein b'shabbos, as opposed to Shabbos. Let us take a look at the Rashi, second line from the top. Shogag b'lo miskavein, lo miskavein l'malacha zu. He had no intention of doing this particular act. Elo l'dover acher. His intention was to do something totally unrelated. V'olsa b'yado malacha zu. And this one came out. In other words, what came out from his activity is not what he intended. It's not what he planned. Omar Mar. We now quote from the source we just read. Chomer b'Shabbos, shehashabbos also shtayim v'chulei. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's just emphasize that
in the general scheme of things, the source that we just finished was a source that was taught by Rabbi Zakkai in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Later in the Gemara, we will see that Rabbi Yochanan is not satisfied with this source, that he rejects it. In other words, as we saw in Omer Aleph, a source was taught by Rabbi Zakkai in front of Rabbi Yochanan rejected it. The same thing with regard to this. As far as why Rabbi Yochanan rejects this source, that we have to wait a number of lines of Gemara till that becomes revealed. So we go through the source, analyzing it step by step. Omer Mar, Choymer B'Shabbos. This is a reference to the Aleph point that was mentioned above. Sheha Shabbos, also Shtayim, v'chulei. We said that when it comes to Shabbos, if a person does two Shabbos activities, that generates two separate korbanos. And that is as opposed to other mitzvos. Hechidami, what is being spoken about here? We have a long question mark that you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, the kuf that's encircled with a dashed vertical line. We're going to go through a couple of stages in order to analyze this. The first stages are part of the question. We have numbered in the text and underlined the opening words, the elamo, ela. If you say this, it will be a problem. If you say ela, something else, that too will be a problem. And that will bring us to the end of the long question. After that, the Gemara says, Li'olam, and that's, you'll see the line after the end of the long question, a third possibility with which we could possibly understand the source. But first we go through two stages that will present a difficulty. We will not be able to understand the application of this source. So let's go through the Gemara inside. Echidami. Imeimo di Ovad Ktsira Utchino. If you say that as far as Shabbos is concerned, he did an act of harvesting and an act of grinding, both being prohibited on Shabbos. Dikavoso Gabi Shar Mitzvos. A parallel that could be drawn to other mitzvos would be also two separate types of offense. The Ochal, a person ate, Chelev Vedam. These are two forbidden substances for a Jew to consume, both chelev and dam. If that be the case, why do you say that there's a difference between Shabbos and other mitzvos? Hachotarti mechayev, by Shabbos, granted he is chayev too, but hachotarti mechayev, by other mitzvos as well, he would be obligated two separate korbanos. Namely, if a person ate chelev and dam, he would be obligated to bring two separate korbanos. Ela. So what's the case of Shar Mitzvahs that could be contrasted with Shabbos? Elo Gabi Shar Mitzvahs, Di Eino Chayav Elo Achas. What would be meant by, what would be the case of other mitzvahs where even though multiple things were done, he's Chayav only one? Hei Chidami, what might be the case? Di Ochal, Chelev Chelev, where he eats two units of Chelev, and not discovering in the interim that what he ate was forbidden. Well, what would be the parallel to that, whereby we just said now, in Shar Mitzvahs, he did the same thing twice. The Kavaso Gabi Shabbos, the parallel case of Shabbos would be the Ovad Ketziro Ketziro, where he did two acts of Ketziro. But if you say that, still we cannot contrast Shabbos with other mitzvahs. Hocho Chado Mechayev, Vehocho Chado Mechayev. Just like in the case of Ochal Chelev Vechelev, you want to say he would be Chayev one, so too in the case of Ketziro Vekitziro by Shabbos, he would be Chayev only one Korban. In other words, if he did two acts of Ketziro in one state of lack of awareness, he's only Chayev one Korban. So at this point then, we cannot make any sense of the source taught at the top. V'hainu di omale, with this we understand that which Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Zakkai, pok toni levra, throw out your source. Mor says, my kushya, why should we throw out the source? We have a response. Before we go on in the Gemara, we are going to now provide use of a geometric form, in this case the triangle that we're flipping back and forth, and it's quite apparent in the Gemara that this is going to take place a number of times. Just by scanning it in the Gemara, we will be trying to keep track of what's going to happen. So let us take advantage of the Mivneh note in the margin. With the point facing up, we will be in an attempt mode to say lo nofik. I mean, in other words, not to throw out the source. Lo nofik habraisa libra. V'loma Rabbi Yochanan roitzel apukei debra. And the question will arise that if we can offer a reasonable explanation for the source, we will be wondering why would Rabbi Yochanan say cast it out. Then, when we see the form flipping over, we will then attempt to understand why poke Tani Levra ki Rabbi Yochanan. At that point, we'll be in a support mode for Rabbi Yochanan. So we continue in the Gemara, noticing, in addition, that we have a long question. The She'ela is featured by a circled shin in the space between, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, giving you a sense of length of this particular suggestion. We're calling it a She'ela because at the end of this, we're going to be wondering, why would Rabbi Yochanan want to throw out this source when we can offer a reasonable explanation? Dilma, the Gemara continues, Li'olam, this would be the third stage of attempting to understand what does it mean, Choymer b'Shabbos, Shashabbos also Shtayim, etc. Li'olam, the Gemara says, Eima loch di'ovad ketziro t'china. That with regard to Shabbos, he did ketzir, two separate acts, and in the case of Shabbos we say, he's chayev for each one separately. Ma she'ein kein b'shar mitzvos, as opposed to other mitzvos, what is that a reference to? And we say by other mitzvos he's chayev only one, even though he did multiple activities, different activities. Ason avodas kechavim. This is a reference to, when it says shar mitzvos, is a reference specifically to idolatry. Kedi Rabbi Ami, the Omar Rabbi Ami, in accord with Rabbi Ami's teaching that says Zibeach v'kiter v'nisech behelam echad, he does multiple activities. He slaughters. He offers up in the fire. He does blood sprinkling, all in one state of lack of awareness to an avodah zara, to an idol. Eino chayev elo achas. He's chayev only one. So we can see that there is a stringency with regard to Shabbos as opposed to other mitzvahs. As long as we term other mitzvahs being a reference specifically to Avodah Zarah. So the question is, why did Rabbi Yochanan reject the source? Answer, Lo misukma lei b'avodas kechavim. This source that we featured at the top of this Amid does not stand up. It cannot be maintained in the context of Avodah Zarah, and why not? Before we go on, let us also take note of the long answer marking that we have to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, a tough teretz with a vertical dashed line indicating that all of these lines form the explanation as to why the source cannot be set up as referring to idolatry. And you know why? The Gemara goes on, the Katani Seifa, because the latter part of the source won't fit into Avodah Zarah. How is that? What does it say in the Seifa? Choymer b'shar mitzvos. In order to find where this quote is coming from, we've provided a squiggly arrow in the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, and you find a parallel mark on the upper part of the page, so you can see where this quote is coming from. It said in the Seifa, Choymer b'shar mitzvos. There is a stringency with regard to other mitzvahs, and don't forget, the Shar mitzvahs is a reference to Avodah Zarah. So we can say that there's a stringency with regard to Avodah Zarah. Shebishar mitzvahs, that we find by Avodah Zarah, Shogag below Miskavein Chayov, where if he is commits an act in a case of Shogag, where he does something unwittingly without planning it, without being, without Kavana for it, he is Chayov. He's to be penalized. And if he does so, he'd bring a korban. The Gemara now will analyze how can we apply this concept of shogag below miskaveh to avodah zarah. The Gemara explains, shogag below miskaveh b'avodah kechavim hechidami. What's the case? And we'll go through here stages trying to figure this out. And we will do that by using a lettering system, aleph, beis, and this, by the end of Bayes, we will be holding with the idea that we cannot apply Shogeg below Miskavin to Avodah Zarah. E, the Kosovar, Beis HaKnesses Uvishtachavelo, if a man bowed down to what he thought was a shul, it turned out to be a place of idol worship, but he thought it was a shul, Harei Libo LaShamayim. His heart is heavenwards, and hence he would not be obligated to bring a korban. We wouldn't be able to say chayov about that. Elo, what might be, the Choza Andarta Vesogile, he saw a statue and bowed down to that. Well, I kibble ole be'eloha, if he accepted the statue as a divinity, as a god form for himself, then mezidhu, he's doing something premeditated, and that wouldn't fit into the context of this source, which talks about a chiyuv korban. We're talking in this source about bringing korbanas. If he didn't accept it as a god form, but rather bowed to the statue simply out of respect, lo klumhi, he didn't do anything. So he wouldn't be chayav a korban for that either. Therefore, we can understand at this point why Rabbi Yochanan threw out this source. The Gemara says, one second, not so quickly. Notice we have a triangle with the point facing up. And as we mentioned before, when the point is facing up, we're in a mode trying to suggest not to throw out the source. If one forgets in the course of a Gemara like this at what point we're holding, you can always make reference back to the key, the Mivneh heading that you find in the margin. So with the point facing up, we know we're going to try to resuscitate the attempt to lend credence to the source. Elo me ahavo umiyira. We can say that the source is talking about the case of Shogag v'lo miskaven. It's talking about a person who serves an idol out of love or fear of some man, of some fellow man, and that would be an example of Shogag v'lo miskaven. That's chayov. Well, Honichor Abaye, Domar Chayav, that answer can be given according to Abaye, who holds that one who serves an idol out of Me'avo Miro is considered in violation. Elo LeRavo Diomar Potter, Ma'iko LeMeimar, but according to Ravo, who holds that one who serves Avodah Zarah Me'avo Miro is exempt, then how can you establish the source as talking about Avodah Zarah? Elo, we can still do that. Be Omer Mutter, this is according to Ravo, that one who is Omer Mutter, that's called Shogag B'lo Miskaven, and that is considered in violation. Omer Mutter, one who holds that it's Mutter, one who thinks that the Torah does not prohibit idolatry. Someone like that would be called Shogag B'lo Miskaven, and would be Chayev according to Rava. However, we still have a question. And notice, we wrote in Kosher, with a triangle around it, in order to preserve the flow of the Gemara. We still will run into a difficulty, because at that point in the source we said that this was a chomer b'shar mitzvahs, that by other mitzvahs it shogah moskavi deschayev, and then but the source went on to say mashe'ein kein b'shabbos. What does that mean? As opposed to Shabbos, that what? The potter legamri, that if a person is omer mutter by Shabbos, are you going to tell me he's totally exempt? If someone says that there is no Shabbos in the Torah, and that means that he holds there is no Shabbos, and there are no malachas that accompany Shabbos either, then to read that into the source, we're going to have to conclude that such a state of mind would be totally exempt if one behaved that way on Shabbos. But that's just not true. Ad kan lo bo mine rova mir av Nachmon, helem ze veze. Up till now, we knew Rava posed this question to Rav Nachman. What if a person is unaware both of Shabbos and its malachas? That's called Helem Zeh V'Zeh. He's unaware of Shabbos and the malachas. And Rava was asking, how much is he obligated? Elo I l'chuv echado, I l'chuv etarti. He was asking, is a person chayev only one korban, or would he be chayev multiple korbanos? Potter legamri leko lamad omar, but totally exempt, no one would say. And yet, if you read in to the source above that Shogag v'lo miskaven by Avodah Zorah is considered chayav by Avodah Zorah, but by Shabbos it would be potter, that's not true. No one would say that a state of mind like that would be potter by Shabbos. At this point, then, the source is still difficult to understand. We would be able to side with Rabbi Yochanan that one should throw out the source. The Gemara responds, "My kushya, why should that be a problem?" And notice that we have a long question accompanying this section of the Gemara. You can see the shin, the she'ela, that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara with a long dash vertical line. The question that we're raising here is, why should Rabbi Yochanan really throw out the source? We can explain as follows. My kushya, dilma li'olam e'moloch, I will still tell you, reisha b'avodas kochavim, the reisha, meaning the section of the source that said Choymer b'Shabbos, mi b'Shar mitzvahs, that the Shar mitzvahs there in the Reisha was talking about Avodah Zarah. And we did this earlier on the page, and you can see where this was done by looking, by finding the parallel arrow. You see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara at this point an arrow. If you scan back, you'll find a parallel arrow, at which point the Gemara said that whereby Shabbos one will be chayav two or multiple offenses as opposed to Avodah Zarah. And at that point earlier in the Gemara, we dashed under an Ason of Ezkechovim. We mentioned that that was Rabbi Ami's teaching, and we also, two lines after that, we had a dashed underline Eino Chayav Elo Achas. That was within the realm of Avodah Zarah. Now, we continue in the Gemara of a Seifa. As far as the Seifa of the source at the top, the Seifa which featured Chomer B'Shar Mitzvahs as opposed to Shabbos, the Shar Mitzvahs there is not referring to Avodah Zarah. It's a different case. That's B'Shar Mitzvahs. And the Gemara will illustrate that. Before we go on, though, I want to emphasize for now, which we'll come to later again, that with this approach, as is presented by this particular triangle point facing up, we're telling you that the term Shar Mitzvahs in the Reisha referred to Avodah Zarah, and the same term Sha'ar Mitzvahs in the Seifa does not refer to Avodah Zarah, it refers to other kinds of offenses. This approach is offered here, but we will see later that Rabbi Yochanan himself does not subscribe to such interpretations. He, Rabbi Yochanan, likes consistency. So by doing what we're doing right now, Rabbi Yochanan will not approve of this. But for the time being, let us try to make sense of the source by using this explanation. The Seifa, therefore, when it says Shar Mitzvahs, is a reference to literally other things, not Avodah Zarah. V'shogag below miskavein, that expression which appeared in the Seifa, which said that this is a stringency by other mitzvahs over Shabbos, the case of shogag below miskavein, equals, what is the case? Dekosovar roik hu ubol oi. He had, this is a fellow who had in front of him some chelev. Chelev, it was chelev is forbidden material. Different part of it's found in different parts of the animal. Sometimes it's translated as forbidden fats, but we will refer to it henceforth simply as chelev. There was some chelev in front of him, but it was melted, and he thought it was saliva. So it might have been on his face, or it might have been on his finger, this melted chelev, and he licked it off, thinking that it was saliva. Let's read that again in the Gemara. The Kosova Roiku Ubolo. And he swallowed it. This, if done, and when he discovers that it was Chelev, he is guilty. He has to bring a Korban for that. Because he had Hanoah from that. He had benefit. He enjoyed it at that moment. Masha'ein came B'Shabbos de Potter. The parallel or contrast case with regard to Shabbos where there would be an exemption, what would be the parallel to what we just said? We said he thought it was saliva and it turned out to be chelev. What would be the case by Shabbos that there is exemption? As follows. Shiniskavein lahagbiyas atolosh. He thought he was picking up something, a vegetable that he thought was detached. And as he picked it up, it turned out that it was still attached. He intended to do one thing, and it turned out to be something totally different. He intended to do an act of picking up, and he ended up doing an act of disconnecting. The Gemara says, Potter, Uchder Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. This is exempt as according to Rav Nachman's teaching. The Omar, Hamis Asik B'chalov V'arayas Chayov, Shekei Nehne. One who is engaged in a form of activity termed Misasik. What is that? That's where a person intended to do one thing and it turned out to be something else. This is different than the case of Shogeg. Shogeg is a case where a person intended to do what he did, simply he was unaware that it was forbidden. Here, in the case of Misasek, he didn't have intention to do the result whatsoever. So in the case of Misasek with Chalovim and Arayas, Chalovim was the example we had just before, Arayas would be a case of immorality. For example, a person thought that he was going to conduct intimacy with his wife, and it turned out to be his sister. He intended wife, turned out to be sister. But he is nonetheless considered Chayev, he is considered in violation, and therefore he'll have to bring a Korban. And why is that? Shekein Nehene, because he had enjoyment from that error. However, HaMisasek b'Shabbos poter. The case of Misasek, like we described before, he intended to do an act of permission, namely to pick up something from the ground, and it turned out that the result was something that he did not plan for to begin with. That's exempt. Why? This is something unique to Shabbos. Meleches machsheves osra Torah. The Torah, when it comes to Shabbos, prohibits only planned activities, where he planned for that particular result. However, if he planned for one thing and something else came out, in the context of Shabbos, he's exempt. At this point, though, we can say that the source on the top makes sense. The case of Chomer b'Shabbos Shar Mitzvahs in the Reisha meant Shabbos was more stringent than Avodah Zarah. The case of the Seif of Chomer Shar Mitzvahs over Shabbos is a case of other mitzvahs are more stringent than with regard to Shabbos. That was in the case of Shogeg B'lo Miskaven. So why would Rabbi Yochanan say to eject the source? The Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan L'tameh, Rabbi Yochanan in his dissatisfaction with the source is consistent with what he said elsewhere. What is his general approach to sources? The loy moikin masnisa, he will not establish a source reisha b'chad taimo, v'seifa b'chad taimo, splitting the first part of the source using one form of explanation and the latter part of the same source using a different form of explanation. And we see this by Rabbi Yochanan when it comes to a Mishnah in Bava Metzia. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan in Bava Metzia said, "Man de metargim li chovis alibo de chatana." He who is successful in explaining to me the Mishnah that we call chovis. It's the name of a Mishnah in the third parak of Maseches Bava Metzia. Anyone who could explain that entire Mishnah according to one Tanaic opinion, I will offer myself to be in servitude to that individual. Movilna money basre the bay masuta. I will carry money, his clothing, after him, following him to the bathhouse. In other words, I will act as a servant to him. An expression of you, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah in Bava Metzia could not possibly be explained by as according to one Tanaic authority straight through, and hence Rabbi Yochanan did not feel that he would ever have to serve someone in this capacity. With that, we end our shiur for today.